the truth.
Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the powerful Mach 5 of free speech, because when the going gets tough and there's dangerous work to do, you know RBN will see it through, or something like that. It's like Speed Racer. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send all your money to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. There will be operators standing by. And so is Jeremy. Jeremy, you know Speed Racer, right?
I remember... I was a child, then I saw the reruns. I didn't see the actual show, but they played the reruns in Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah. Well, this is a Speed Racer-themed show, so this particular one, it's adventure. It's all about adventure, and we've got a lot of it. It's an adventure being on RBN. We've been on RBN for years now, and it's quite an adventure. It's an adventure being a human being.
Yeah, and dealing with, you know, the different things that we deal with. It's like we see things that other people don't see in normie world. And you talk to the normies, and they don't understand, you know, Jewish power or... they don't understand that white European people are being genocided. They don't get it. If they do protest the Palestinian genocide, they see it as a bunch of white supremacist Israelis genociding brown people. So it's very different to see things the way that we do and interact with normies.
I'd like to tie it into Speed Racer, but I don't know if it can be done. Speed Racer drove around in the powerful Mach 5, and he had a girlfriend named Trixie. Speed Racer was a kid, so was it really a girlfriend? I guess he was supposed to be a teenager. And then he had his little brother and a chimpanzee named Chimp Chimp in the rumble seat in the back of the. They were actually rode around in the trunk, which not highly recommended. There was a Racer X who was a rival, but not a bad guy. And I think it eventually turned out Racer X was Speed Racer's brother. There's some kind of weird professor, genius mechanic who kept the powerful Mach 5 going. Did he have some sort of fat manager? I can't remember. I don't remember the show that well. But they were bad guys, and he always defeated the bad guys, and there was always some sort of driving scene involved. That was Speed Racer, but good theme music. Is it a analogy? Is it a parable of what the Jews are doing to us? I wish I could say it was, but I don't think so. But how about They Live? With the pro wrestlers, and they put on the glasses and they can see. We've got the glasses on. We definitely have the glasses on.
Yeah, I'm not a big Speed Racer guy. I know it's Japanese in the 60s. Yep. I just looked it up. It's based on a Japanese book, Mach Gogo.
Mach 5, that's Mach 5.
Mach 5.
That is the Mach 5.
You mentioned They Live. That movie plus the movie The Matrix is something that people use to compare to today's situation. So, and, you know, in They Live, That was movie from it was 1988. A John Carpenter movie. He's pretty dark. John Carpenter is very dark. You know, about people that can see the aliens when they put the glasses on. They can see that a foreign power is infiltrated and ruling over them. And when you put the glasses on, you see it, and everyone else is just normies.
Yeah. And not just that you see the aliens, but you see their messages.
Yes, you see the messages on the screen. So, you know, like, yeah, we read the mainstream media and we read it differently. The normies would read it. this is also compared to The Matrix. You probably didn't see The Matrix movie, right? It came out in 1999.
Benjamin Fulford showed it to me, and I really wasn't that impressed. But he thought that the Matrix had all of this deep meaning in it.
It, you know, if you go back and watch it now, I mean, it's probably not that impressive. But at the time, it was in 99, it was impressive. It is a fascinating concept that, you know, everyone is in this pod and they're being drained of all of their vitality. But they're being given this false reality that they're living their life, you know. And so if you take the red pill, then you escape from this pod. And you wake up to a reality that's really kind of dark and disturbing and dystopic when you realize that all of humanity is being siphoned of their power and you're rolling around in some spaceship. Yeah, it kind of was not that great, wasn't it?
Well, one thing is, like, I just don't particularly like movies. The movie, okay, my relationship with movies is that movies tend to be about 2 hours long, and I might enjoy the first hour of a movie, but then they get really, really predictable and tedious. Mm-hmm. I saw a few movies this year. I don't see very many movies, usually just on airplanes. What did I see? Gosh, I don't even remember what I saw. Sorry. Oh, I saw one, Napoleon. Of course, I knew where that was going because it was based on Napoleon's history. And that had the guy who did the Joker, Joaquin something. He played Napoleon, and that was okay. What else did I see? I can't even remember. They don't really make much of. Did they make much of an impression on me? But I saw all three movies the whole way through, which is unusual for me. Usually, I'm going to I'll watch the first half hour to an hour of a movie, and then I get tired of it and watch something else, or watch nothing at all.
I can't tolerate modern movies. I like some select older ones. What I really like to do is look up old foreign films that I've never seen before. They tend to be more interesting, even if they have subtitles. But two movies that I could highly recommend that portray like leadership, that the theme is leadership and coming of age, would be The Cowboys by John Wayne, with John Wayne in the early 70s. That actually was not a typical John Wayne movie. It wasn't a hokey and, you know, heroish. It was very realistic.
Well, he would have been old in that because he died in the early 70s, right?
Yeah, it was shortly before he died. But the Cowboys, he is older in that one. And his two sons had went astray and died early, and so he felt like a failed father. This is a 1972 film, by the way. Anyway, John Wayne's an old rancher in his 60s. He's got to get his herd across country to sell them in the next town so he can retire. And all of his help, you know, runs off to the gold rush. So he has to hire school children, boys, between like 12 and 16 years old, and teach them how to herd these cattle. And, of course, they get attacked by rustlers, and the boys have to grow up fast in that situation. Very, very good movie about leadership, and it has a surprise ending. I won't give it away. That's a good one. And then also another one on, that has to do with leadership is Master and Commander with Russell Crowe. 2003 movie during the Napoleonic Wars between France and Britain. And it's about a British ship, and it's going to war with this French ship, and that's kind of the backdrop. But really the movie is about leadership and coming of age. Two excellent movies that you could watch kind of over and over again. How do we get off on movies?
I don't know, but the leadership, that's actually a pretty interesting topic. We got on movies because I was talking about Speed Racer. I don't know how that morphed into, and then talking about They Live, which is an interesting movie.
Interesting, as far as leadership and Master and Commander, like, you get all these guys on a ship for 6 months, and you got to maintain like a standard of discipline without being a total dictator. You know, you've got to make the men love you and want to follow you. Otherwise, you know, you're out in the middle of the sea and they get tired of being there. They could totally do a mutiny and just sail that ship anywhere they want. So there's you got to strike that balance of being firm and hard and a leader, but at the same time being loved and being their friend. That's hard to do. That was also displayed in the Cowboys.
Yeah, so leadership, I guess leadership is being able to get others to do what you want them to do or what they need to do. And it's not easy, and it's not automatic, and people talk about leadership a lot, but it is a real thing. Recently had a reunion with a couple of my old classmates from college, and we're meeting after 40 plus years, and one of the guys who's an African and still to this day he speaks with he doesn't speak the best English still to this day. He's very charismatic. The other guy, my other friend, was said something about him. The African guy was talking about a recommendation that he had gotten for graduate school from one of our professors, and the African guy had actually, you're not supposed to do this, but he had actually opened up the envelope and read the recommendation, and he was recounting. He said, "Oh yeah, the professor, he said that yes, he recommends me, but that I don't have leadership skills. I'm not a leader." And my other friend would say, no, you always walk into the room and you're like, you just kind of dominate the room. Yeah, that's different. That's charisma. That's not leadership. Yeah, leadership's different. Leadership is different. And leadership is being able to get people to do what they need to do or what you determine that they need to do. And like most of my life, I have not been a manager. As a professor, you got to get students to do things, but is that leadership? Obviously, you brought up the Navy, and the Navy or a combat situation, officers, that has to be real leadership. In a corporate situation, I ran a small organization once, and I one thing was like, while I ran the organization, it was like a board of directors, and the founder of the organization was the chairman of the board. And so I was the board of directors was just his friends. And part of my staff was his relatives. And so like, I didn't ever feel like I had full control, was I able to get things done? Not always. No. Sometimes I'd say, okay, you need to do such and such. And then a month later I'd find out it never got done. And you look at President Trump, and he would order the troops out of Syria, and then they wouldn't do it. And, being able to get an organization to bend to your will and do what you think needs to be done, That's leadership, and that's not easy. And you know, after I had that experience, I started to understand why corporations pay so much money to get top executives. Not that these people deserve that much money, but I could understand the why it's seen as being valuable. I don't know. And so I mentioned Trump. Trump obviously does not have leadership skills, at least not maybe he does in the context of business or entertainment, but certainly not in the context of government. He could not get his priorities done. He just couldn't get them done. And I don't think it was because he was bought off or things. I think he doesn't have leadership. I think he's got charisma. He's a good campaigner, but does not have leadership, at least the type of leadership that's necessary to get things done in the government. And now it looks like he is, rather than leading, he is just going to follow. That he can want, for whatever reason, wants to live in the White House again. And that means following the Zionists and being a follower rather than a leader this time. Like he was a failed leader last time. This time, I don't even know if he's going to try to lead. I don't know. So I'm bringing that up. Kick it back to you, Jeremy.
You know, the American public, think back to World War I and II. Yeah. There was this sense of pride in America. You know, there was this American empire that we could get into, but let's get into the psyche of the public, of John Q. American. You know, Christian values, they had good jobs. You could afford to have, I mean, it's total Leave It to Beaver, right? The dad goes off in a business suit and works 40 hours and the wife stays home and you got a 2-car garage. You had the sense of pride in America. There wasn't the pride that Americans had in post-World War II. And the leaders had all of these issues and problems that the American public weren't even aware of. I mean, there was a sense of pride in your president, you know, regardless of who it was. The office was respected. It was easy to lead the people. You go through the 60s sexual revolution, you come into the 80s, and up until, and then today, like that pride is gone. Like you don't have this sense of pride in your country. You've got people on the left and the right feeling completely disenfranchised. And so what's left? Like, how do you lead people? How does the government lead the people? Like, it's coming down to just hard power. We saw this in the BLM movements and the COVID lockdowns, and now in the response to these Palestinian protests, protests against genocide. What happens when leadership is gone? What happens when no longer you have pride in the country? There's not a sense of patriotism. You just respond to hard power. You respond to, and then people get used to that. So we're having a whole generation that's kind of getting used to this. And to placate them, you know, you give them the internet, degeneracy, constant exposure to social media. Our whole reality is being shifted. This is so far gone from the America of our fathers and grandfathers. It's not tenable anymore to ever go back to that. And I think what people saw in Trump was, you know, people that were looking for it was a way back.
Here he comes, here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone. He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5. And when the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do, then your life's eraser, machine is through.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. Will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth, or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net, for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
He's off and flying as he guns a car around the track. He's jamming down the pedal like he's never coming back. Adventure's waiting just ahead. Go Speed Racer, Go Speed Racer, Go Speed Racer, go!
Fathers and grandfathers, it's not tenable anymore to ever go back to that. And I think what people saw in Trump was, you know, people that were looking for it was a way back to that era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's why you still have people believe in him. And they don't see the big picture. But unfortunately, pro-Americanism is tied into pro-Zionism. And that's, you know, we can blame the Christian Zionists, but they're just like a piece of the puzzle. Like, they're not any kind of power. I mean, like, Christian Zionism is a result of Jewish power. It's not doesn't fund or push Jewish power. It's not like it's a major player in Jewish power. It's like a product of it. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
It's a product. Yes, absolutely.
It's just a piece of the puzzle. Because think about all the people that don't claim to be Christians, that are leftists, you know, that claim no religion or agnostic, or they, you know, maybe like Biden, well, Biden's Catholic, but like he's not practicing. These people aren't a part of Christian Zionism. You don't have Christian Zionists moving the levers of power. It's just a product. So we're talking about leadership, and I'm carrying on with this theme. Like, how do we go forward into this next generation of Zoomers? Like, how are they going to be driven? It looks like through basically hard power. Lockdowns, you protest the wrong thing, get arrested. That's pretty much where we're at. And what was considered our rights as Americans is no longer a thing. How is this sustainable? Is it sustainable? Talk about sustainability.
I don't think it's sustainable. And I think the COVID lockdowns and the COVID tyranny is an issue that is unresolved business. We can't just really at some point we as a country, if we're going to survive, have to revisit it and say that was a huge mistake. You know, there's been revisiting things. Our Jewish power structure is having us revisit all of Jim Crow and all of this stuff, and everybody has to go back and say that was wrong, that was wrong. I'm just raising that as an example of going back and having retrospection, for better or for worse. We need to go back and revisit the COVID lockdowns and get some sort of consensus that this was wrong, that this was bad, and mustn't happen again. That is some unfinished business, because otherwise they can pull it. As long as that is seen as legitimate, it can be pulled out, and you still do have people walking around with COVID masks. It's sad but true. Every time I see somebody walking around in a COVID mask, I really want to say something obnoxious to them, like, "Oh, you're wearing a mask, honey. You don't look gay, but I, you know," something like that. I don't know. I don't do that.
But we have a whole society just conditioned now that when they say lockdown, you lock down. When they say you can't protest this, then you know, you step in line, and if you don't, you feel the hard power of the system coming down. It really is incredible when you step back and look at it. I mean, we're living in a great country in a way. There's pockets of it that are still wonderful. But you step back and you take the total, 30,000 foot view, and it's very sad the way the country's went in the last 50 years. You could lose your children in some states if you oppose child trainingism. You know, your children would be taken from you by the state. Well, what would our fathers have thought of that, Patrick? I mean, that they would not have, that would have been something they wouldn't have even conceived of. Like, they would never have conceived of the state taking your children away if you didn't allow them to be chemically castrated or wear, little boys wearing dresses. It's interesting, the decline of the West. So where to go from here? I don't know, as we shift power to the East, to Eurasia, what does the United States look like in that shift? No longer dominant, the dollar not being the global currency that it once was. It's still powerful, though. I mean, we talk about the petrodollar that's overrated, but surprisingly, the dollar is still powerful, and we've talked about that in past. Like, I don't know how it is, but it is. It's still hanging on. But what happens when that falls? What does America look like?
Well, okay, so you can... What is that?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Hanging on, but what happens when that falls? You know, what does America look like?
Well, okay, so you can, what did Russia look like after the dismemberment of the Soviet Union? And it was poor, although there was an oligarchic elite. Some people were doing well, but it was poor. Now the thing is, the United States is richer than the old Soviet Union. The United States has some assets that, unless there's a massive war, are going to remain. In particular, it's got very good housing stock, right? So a big hunk of what makes people poor or rich is, in world terms, is, do you have a place to live? Do you have a roof over your head? We have very very nice housing stock. I mean, even our poor people, for the most part, live in pretty nice buildings. We've got a lot of cars floating around. Those cars are going to remain. You know, maybe our fleet is older than the fleet in Germany, but we got a lot of serviceable cars going around. These things are going to remain. But we grow a lot of food. So, of course, food can be moved around. The food that we grow can be exported. Big aspects of our consumerism and our lifestyle have been dependent on massive imports. So, I mean, when you look at the gadgets, you know, the gadgets that make our life modern, how many of them are made in the United States? I mean, like our electronics, even our the new cars, a lot of the new cars are built overseas. The gadgets and our, do we have production assets here? Not really. We don't produce very much here. So what would it look like if without the dollar? And by the way, Jeffrey Sachs was on Alexander Mercurius's The Duran Duran Show within the past couple of days, and somebody had sent in a super chat and asked about the dollar, and Sachs said that unlike most economists, he actually sees a substantial decline in the dollar over the next 10 years. He doesn't think it's going to happen suddenly, but it's going to happen a lot faster than most economists think. And what does it look like? Well, what it looks like is everything at Walmart costing a lot more than it does now. And so it looks like a lot of inflation, the type of, maybe not hyperinflation like they saw in Germany after World War One, but a long period of inflation. Somebody else, who was mentioning this? They're talking about the period of hyperinflation in Germany. Maybe it was Ron Unz. I can't remember. What happened after World War? Oh no! It was this Jewish, left-wing Jewish professor from, where is he from? From Harvard, maybe, named Wolf. What's his first name? Michael Wolf or something? Well, it's Wolf with two F's at the end. And he was, even though he's a Jew, he opposes anti-Semitism. He was explaining where it's coming from. And in the case of Germany after World War II, he was saying, well, you have to figure that you had all these regular German people who, you know, had worked there all their lives and they saved, and they were completely wiped out. So everything they say in hyperinflation, it's not just that you can't buy new things, but everything that you saved, your savings are completely wiped out, because what, you know, maybe 20,000 marks was your life savings, and maybe it meant something in 1918, 20,000 marks, but in 1920, 20,000 marks buys a loaf of bread, right? And so, and this is, you know, the Russians, the Soviet Russians had savings. They couldn't buy anything with the savings when they were under communism, because the funny thing about communism is prices are low and everybody has money and they're still poor because there's nothing to buy with the money. In a market economy, when they introduce a market economy, then the savings lost its value and the prices went high. So so the prices, nobody could afford things, nobody had money, and they were still poor. But they actually even poorer, that's the thing. So before they had money and prices were low, at least they could, the things that existed, like basic foods and transportation and whatnot, they could afford that, nothing else. They could afford things, but they couldn't buy them because they didn't exist. And then the things existed, but they couldn't buy them because they didn't have any money. Am I rambling? I'm sorry. Where are we going?
No. Well, in this situation you're describing is a complete gutting of the working class, because the poor, you know, currently in America, I mean, they're in government subsidized housing, you know, food stamps, Medicaid. And it doesn't matter, you know, that they work at Dollar General and make $11 an hour. They're subsidized when things go five times the price on the Walmart shelf. You know, their food stamp card is going to adjust, and they'll still be able to eat. They're just not going to buy other things or do certain things that they once did. But the working class, the people that are making, you know, $50,000 to $200,000 a year and that have savings and nice homes and sweat equity, you know, in their properties, these are the people, like, they're going to deplete their savings just living. It's going to bring everybody down to this same level, right? The working class, the middle class, if you would, will be brought down to the poverty level to live like, you know, like these people on food stamps and on Medicaid. And then you're going to have a huge gap between that and the very, very, very wealthy, who aren't affected by, you know, $10 loaves of bread. That doesn't really, you know, affect them. Maybe they cut out their a couple of weeks off their yearly vacation. So that's kind of the way I see, you know, what you're describing is just a complete destruction of the middle class. You're going to have very, very poor people, and you're going to have very wealthy people, and there's not going to be anything in the middle. You know, this is America, as you pointed out, is relying strictly on imports. We're not producing anything here. So if it, you know, if the countries that supply us decide that it's going to cost a lot more to make these goods, then what can we do about it? Nothing. You just pay the price or you do without. Did that make any sense?
Yes. Yes. And so I'm going to go back to this economist, Richard Wolff, Richard David Wolff with two F's at the end. I pulled up his Wikipedia page. He's an American Marxian economist. Now, you know, people hear Marxian in academia, in the social sciences, to be a Marxist doesn't necessarily mean everything that people think. But at any rate, he's a Marxian economist, and he was saying that the United States has been an empire in decline for a while. It's been in decline for a while, and when an empire is in decline, you know, there's some people pay for it. And he's saying the people who are paying for it, the people whose living standards have been declining, it's not been the super rich, obviously. It's not been the rich so far. And it's not been the poor for, you know, the reasons that you're saying, because there is a social safety net. But it has been the middle class. And I don't think he's sympathetic to Trump or white people or whatever, but he's honest. And he's saying it's been this middle class. They've been the ones paying for it. They've been the ones seeing their own living standards or potential futures. You know, their living standards decline or their futures become more at risk. And that this explains the Trump phenomenon. Which, yeah, I, you know, this and these people, the types of people you're saying who have savings for retirement. Well, when the dollar declines the way, say, Jeffrey Sachs is predicting over the next 10 years, depending on how they have that savings, you know, you can have it invested in such a way that it might be protected. But the thing is, you know, so if it was just in cash, and you know the dollar declines, well then the cash is worth less. If you have it invested in the stock market, the stock market, like most people would, the American stock market is going to be skewed towards American companies. The value of the American companies can go down. So you know, no matter how you have it invested in bonds. And the United States is defaulting on its bonds, or it's just issuing so much. There are so many ways that the value of their savings can decline and even get wiped out. And this is the thing. He was talking about the German people, and saying that not only was there the feeling of the stab in the back that, at the end of the war, that the largely Jewish negotiators for them, what could have been a ceasefire became basically a surrender. But then there was also having all of their savings wiped out through hyperinflation. He was saying that this explains the anti-Semitism that gave rise to Adolf Hitler. Not that he was supporting it, but he was honest enough to explain it. Speaking of honest Jews, Ron Unz, if you go to Unz.com and you look, you know, near the top of his list of headlines, he has this American Pravda, and he's got an article. And the thing is, he'll read his articles, and he reads his articles very slowly and very carefully. And you can, if you want to listen to it, because I like to listen to things, you can listen to his article. It would be about an hour long, but you can easily put it at 1.5 or even 1.75 speed and get through the whole thing in 35 minutes. And what it sounds like is the best ever digest of everything that David Duke says. He even quoted Andrew Anglin in it. And so, I mean, Ron Unz has come a long way, and he just, wow. I highly recommend people go and listen to his most recent American Pravda at the top of Ron Unz, or top of Unz.com. All right, where are we now? How much time do we got left?
Oh, we probably have 5 or 6 minutes, don't we?
And we got about 7 minutes. Yeah.
Well, we're coming full circle. I mean, the American dream, you know, what they would call that, it would drastically change. Gone would be the days of, in the scenario we're painting of the collapse, gone would be the days of getting out of school and taking out a small loan, starting a business, or, living that working class lifestyle. You're either going to be extremely poor and living on the system, or you're going to be extremely wealthy with money left to you, and you're not going to want to rock the system because you don't want to lose your money. Either way, you talk about leading people and driving people. That's kind of the scenario that's being painted there. You know, a self-employed person, a person of middle class status, they can kind of do or say whatever they want. Not so much when you're relying on the powers to sustain you, whether it's to sustain your money or to sustain your welfare. So that could be the way that it's going. And who benefits? Wealthy bankers, CEOs, who benefited from moving tire production to Mexico. I mean, the tires are more expensive now than they ever were. It's not like they're making cheaper, you know, it's not like they're, oh, we're making tires cheaper, and therefore, you know, discount to the public. No, and that goes in the CEO's pockets. So, yeah.
Tires have gotten expensive. They really have.
And, I mean, it's costing these people way less to make tires today than it did 20 years ago when they were making them in the U.S. and having to, you know, uphold EPA standards and pay a living wage to tire workers. There's a tire plant in Union City, Tennessee, just south of me, and they're paying like $18 an hour. 15 years ago, they had a Goodyear plant. They're paying like $35 an hour.
Uh-huh.
So why, you know, how does that happen? So the tires are being outsourced. Where does that money go? Who's, you know, it's not benefiting the public. You can't go get a good job anymore down there. You're not going to live off of $18 an hour in that town. You're going to barely make it. So again, all of this outsourcing of jobs in America, it's basically like America had all of this money in the 50s and 60s. Somebody, you know, the Jewish elite saw this money and they're like, how can we get our hands on that money? Take it out of the middle class, right? Just take it out of the working class and transfer that to bankers and CEOs. You know, do so by outsourcing the products. Make stuff in other countries cheaper and sell it at higher prices. It's really very simple. Am I simplifying it too much? Have I oversimplified?
I don't know. But it's certainly in the right direction, on the right track. And it works as long as the dollar's strong. And the thing is, the dollar is, from my experience, my personal experience in the foreign exchange market, which was 35 years ago, but it's the dollar's not strong because
go.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Start your day on RBN with John Moore from 7:10 with coffee cup in hand. Wake up with the Memory Man. Highly qualified guests share their knowledge with the callers Monday through Friday. His website is second to none. It's thelibertyman.com. You'll find everything right there. Start your day and be prepared. So give a listen or a call. Tune in weekdays on RBN. Start your day and be prepared. So give a listen or a call. Tune in midweekdays on RBN.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
My personal experience in the foreign exchange market, which was 35 years ago, but it's The dollar is not strong because of trade. It's not strong because of the petrodollar. It's not. It's always a psychological thing. The foreign exchange markets from day to day, from week to week, they just look at different things. They might look at interest rate differentials. They'll look at trade numbers. They'll look at this. They look at that, or they look at the international situation, and they just decide what to look at. And it's not always bullish for the dollar, but. According to economic theory, if you are printing money, so-called printing money, creating money, the way the United States has for decades, there's no reason for the dollar to remain this strong. I mean, yeah, we've had some inflation, but I would say that for the most part, our inflation winds up through international transactions, international trade, being exported to other countries that don't have the strong currency. And we're able to get all these things at low prices because of the exchange rate. I mean, you know, Andrew Anglin has this whole meme about the Chinese, he'll have a white guy, and the white guy says, I want quality products at reasonable prices. And then the Chinese guy says, I have quality products at reasonable prices. But they're reasonable prices because of China having a policy of keeping its own currency weak, which successive American administrations have complained against. China's a currency manipulator. Well, what happens when it stops manipulating its currency? Everything at Walmart's going to be twice as expensive. And, these people need to think about, they might get what they wish for. You got to be careful what you wish for. So anyway, we're getting close. We got a couple minutes left. We're getting close to the end. Been kind of here and there show, but good stuff. But there's been a lot of Speed Racer. I don't know if you noticed it, Jeremy, but during the breaks, there's been a lot of Speed Racer music playing.
I did. That's good stuff.
Three different songs, different Speed Racer, all the same song, but three different versions of it.
One of them in Japanese, wasn't it?
Two of them were in Japanese.
I don't speak Japanese, but it sounded like it was Japanese.
The same thing, yeah.
Well, no, it's been fascinating, and sometimes we just have these rando shows where we talk about whatever because it's late and we've both worked hard or something like that. But it's good to hash things out, and I look forward to the next time.
Hey, yeah, and you know something? I had a show with Philbert a couple weeks ago, and at some point maybe we want to have some revisitation of some of that stuff.
Oh, the discussion on religious topics and biblical topics. Yeah, I'd like to interact with Philbert. Maybe get us on the show. Maybe he can come to the Patrick and Jeremy show.
That could happen.
We've had such notable guests, you know, as Ryan Dawson, David Duke,
Brother Nathaniel.
Brother Nathaniel's been on there.
Bro Nat. Kevin McDonald.
McDonald was on the show, Jeremy. I remember that.
We could reach out to him again. Yep. All righty. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Patrick. You stay classy, my friend.
It's a struggle, but I'm getting over this. I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
There, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.